we are this evening having our budget hearing, and this is a requirement as a part of New York State education law. And so this evening is the budget hearing. John O'Keefe and I, Assistant Superintendent for Business and Operations, along with staff throughout our entire district, have been working on the budget since November or the beginning of school, quite honestly. And now we're on this roadshow of presenting the budget, sharing information about the budget with our community groups. And this is another piece of that sharing and presenting of the budget that all of you will be asked to vote upon the third Tuesday in May.
Good evening, everyone, and I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version of everything. All the detailed information is on the district's website, including the line-by-line budget and all the presentations that we've done starting back in January. This just gives you an overview and a timeline of what the budget process looks like. Dr. Graham said it does start back in November, and it culminates with the last board meeting on April 18th, where the Board of Education actually adopted this budget that will go before you on May 15th. So the quick facts on the budget. The proposed budget for next year is a $322,887,000 budget. It's an $8.7 million increase over the current year, or 2.77% growth over this year. And it's in line with our five-year average, which is about 2.4. The tax levy is growing a little bit higher, bless you, than our typical average. Next year's levy is proposed at $187 million. That's about $10 million more than the current levy, and that's a 5.73% increase. So the levy is growing by 5.73%, not the budget. The budget is only growing 2.77%. This is within the tax cap, and it is not piercing the cap. We do not need a supermajority vote. And as you can see, the normal tax levy increase year to year, an average for 5 years, is about 2.8%, very much in line with our budget. And I'll explain briefly why it's a different increase than what we normally would expect. This just gives you the quick facts on how we're going to fund this $8.7 million increase. We start off with state aid. That's one of our primary funding streams. State aid is actually being reduced slightly over the current year by $2.3 million. You'll read in Newsday, where they'll show that table on Sunday usually. They'll show all the increases. It'll show SACHM receiving an increase of about $3 million. There is one component of that puzzle, though, they leave out. They always leave out the building aid piece. We're losing about $5 million in building aid. So net aid in hand next year will be about $2.3 million less. And I'll touch on that decrease in a few moments. The levy, like we said, is growing by about $10.1 million. And then there are other miscellaneous sources that are increasing by about $856,000. Last year, the district entered into an agreement with Eastern Suffolk BOCES to lease Sequoia Middle School. BOCES now has that building. They're going to continue to grow into it and take the entire building, so some of the increase is there. But another large chunk is Tecumseh Elementary School. Back in March, the board entered into an agreement with BOCES to take that building as well. They're in there now actually starting their work, and they'll open a program there September 1st. They're going to start this first year with about 60% of the building, but we anticipate over the next year or 18 months them growing into the balance of the building. So that building has been rented as well. So the total, like we said, is an $8.7 million increase. And in the bottom of the slide just gives everyone a recap of where we are with fund balance, because we know where we were a few years ago, where SACHM only had $16,000 in unassigned fund balance. As of the end of last year, we were able to grow that $16,000 to about $12.5 million, so we have reached the 4% plateau, which is the recommended level that districts keep on hand for a rainy day fund. And our total fund balance, which includes that $12.5 million, is now at $25.5 million. But we're still about $6.7 million short of the state controller's minimum threshold that they recommend, which is about 10% of our budget.
You know, for most, the $25.5 million number in reserves sounds like a rather large number. But when you look at an operating budget of $322 million, $25.5 million to have in reserves is not a large number. And we know that if the state were to restructure funding, if there were perhaps another initiative similar to the gap elimination adjustment, which was plaguing districts over the past decade or so, that $25.5 million would not be enough to help us sustain our operations.
Yeah, I mean, the simple math, a $322 million budget, it's nearly $1 million a day to run Sachem. So just look at it in that perspective of how many days of operating expense $25 million actually is. So just quickly on the tax cap, I won't spend a lot of time on this slide, and I'll show you a little bit more detail on the next, but the tax cap or the tax levy does not increase by a consistent formula in every district. There are a number of different factors that are in the formula, and this highlights those factors. You have the tax-based growth factor, which is a number we receive from the state. That tells us the growth in assessed property values within the district, whether it be new construction or if a homeowner did an improvement, a pool, an addition, et cetera. If the tax base grows, there's a factor that the state gives us that allows us to add that to the levy. The allowable levy growth factor is the part that the public has been told is the 2% tax cap. That's the one piece. It's 2%, or it's the consumer price index from the preceding year, whichever is lower. So for the past 4 years, the CPI has been under 2. 2017, we finished with 2.13, so we will have 2% in the formula next year. Our payments in lieu of taxes are pretty static in Sachem. They're about $1 million, so there's no change there. The capital tax levy, that's the component with the greatest change. That takes into consideration all the district's outstanding bond debt, the proposed capital projects in the upcoming year, and it offsets it by the building aid from the state. So next year, we're proposing $2.85 million in capital projects. That's about a $1.3 million increase over the current year. Again, we're still doing projects that are necessary. For example, in this year, we were cited by the Office of Civil Rights for the needs of a staircase at High School East, which the construction will actually start next week. And later in this board meeting, the board will be considering approving a bid that was accepted for our reconstruction of our pool bathrooms at High School North, because they're not ADA compliant. Also, we started a planned cycle of replacing the school buses. They're all 15 to 22 years old, so we want to start replacing them six or so a year until we turn the fleet over. It included six buses. Next year, we're sticking with that same six new school buses, but we're also now adding to those things that we have to do. The fuel tanks at transportation are steel wall tanks. EPA requires us to replace them with fiberglass, so that needs to be done. The pool pump, the filter, chlorination system at High School North is past its useful life. That needs to be replaced. The roof at Waverly in its entirety needs to be replaced, but that's far too much for us to put in the budget this year. It would be about $3.2 million. So we're going to do a section of it and include it in next year's budget. So those are the projects. Now, on the next slide, again, I ask, you know, why is it not 2%? And I try to guide you with math in the most simplistic formula to show you the components that make up the tax levy. You start everything with the beginning levy. This year's levy is $177 million. And like we said in the last slide, you have the tax-based growth factor, which adds 0.18% to the levy, or $318,000. Then you have the allowable levy growth factor component, which adds approximately 2%, or the $3.5 million that you see there. And then the piece that has that greatest change, as we discussed, is the change in your capital exclusions. And that's adding $6.3 million to the levy. So that brings the total levy to that $187 million, that $10 million increase. Now, if we drop down below, that shows you where that 6.3 comes from. So like we said, it takes a look at all of your debt payments. So the district has outstanding debt payments on our bonds from the construction of 2004 through 2006, the building of Sequoia and East, and all of the additions and work that was done during the reconfiguration then. Some of that work was work that was bonded for 15 years. Some of it's work that's been bonded for 30 years, the new construction. That debt is still carrying out to 2033. Our debt payments this year are about $20 million. Next year, they're about $20 million, so they're staying static. The capital expenditures, like we said, are growing from $1.5 million to $2.8 million, so you are growing by about $1.3 million there. But the piece that's causing the greatest change is the building aid. Our building aid this year was about $17 million, and next year it'll be a little under $12 million. So there's a $5 million reduction in building aid. Now, It's not something that the state is doing to SACHM. The way that building aid works years ago, because it has changed since, the district would go out with a bond campaign. The community would approve the bond. You would bid the work out. When you signed the contract with your contractor, the state would start aiding you because you need the monies to pay for the work that's being done. The formula has since changed. So in current times, when you go out with a capital bond project or capital work, you sign your contract, you do all the work, you file your final cost reports, and then the aid starts coming. So this is just really a timing issue. The aid is ending, the 15 years have come to an end, but there are still two more years on the debt. So that $20 million still needs to be paid. That $5 million in debt doesn't fall off for two more years. So the way the tax cap formula works, it has a mechanism to offset a change like this so that there are sufficient funds within the budget to pay for that debt. So that the bottom two numbers, that $4.6 million and that $10.9 million, the difference between the two is the $6.3 million. And that's the driver of why the levy is 573 this year and not like the 2.8 that we're accustomed to seeing. So, for example, if the debt this year was flat and the capital expenditure stayed flat at $1.5 million and building aid stayed flat at $17 million, that line here would be zero. And the levy growth next year would be approximately 2.18%. So that 3.55% in rough numbers is the growth because of the reduction in building aid, simply stated.
Yeah, this slide is up here so that we have a comparison of where SACHM's at. This is per pupil expenditures for Gen Ed students. And we compare ourselves often to some of the other large school districts in Suffolk County. But when you look at us up there at $10,500 per student, we are the lowest in that group, and we are lower than the statewide average. So all small school districts upstate New York, Nassau County school districts, in every region, we are the lowest. And we're proud in the respect that we accomplish great things at a reasonable cost when it comes to our students and our expenditure per pupil. But we want to continue to improve and help that number creep up so that we can continue to offer more opportunities for our students. When you look at special education students, those numbers, you replace that first digit with not ones, but threes or fours, and we still fall within the bottom quartile of that group when it comes to per pupil spending on special education students. But again, those numbers are $39,000 or $40,000.
Okay, property taxes. Obviously, we're all taxpayers, whether at this community or any community. We all want to know what we're going to be paying in property taxes. Because unfortunately, in New York, public education in most districts is funded through property taxes. The only component of this that the taxpayer or the school district has any control over is the tax levy. That's our numbers up here on the top. So this year, we went to the voters in May of last year, and they approved a budget of $314 million with a $177 million levy. This year, we're going out with a $322 million budget with a $187 million levy. That's what you're voting for, yes or no. After that point, your property taxes are in the hands of New York State and your local assessor's office. SACHM is in three different towns, Smithtown, Brookhaven, and Islip. The state tells us how much to divvy up the total levy between those three different townships and assessor's office. So, for example, this past fall, we got a distribution table, as you see on the far right there. Now, I can only show you what the numbers are as of right now, because these numbers that divide the levy up don't actually come out until later in the fall, well after you voted on the budget. So, for example, in this year, 65.5% of the levy goes to Brookhaven, and 31.5% or so goes to Islip, and the balance goes to Smithtown. That might change slightly each year. And then the next part of the component is, you know, the only thing that the town gives us to work with is what they call an average assessed value home. In dollars, it ranges from about $300,000 on the Brookhaven side to about $340,000 on the Smithtown side. Where they come up with the average exactly, I don't know. But then they convert it into their assessed value formula, which is then how it gets dispersed out to individual taxpayers, which is why sometimes you and your neighbor will have identical homes, and there's a disparity between your bills because of the way the formula works. So from the school district side and the taxpayer side, the only part we really have any control over is what the levy is going to be next year. The dividing up of that bill is actually handled by the state and by the local assessor's office. This slide I don't expect you to see, but this is the slide that shows the very easy-to-read, simplified template that the state requires that we mail to you each year. This is the school district budget notice. This will be the notice that will go out in the mail tomorrow or the next day. It will come to your homes. Basically what it does, and I'll just highlight it for you, in that middle column right here in the center of the page, it just highlights the current year budget, the total budget amount, and then the levy. And down at the bottom, it just tells you, you know, how does that budget break down when we want to look at it from an administrative component, a program component, and a capital component. The middle part of the slide is the proposed budget for next year. And the last component is what the contingency budget would look like. So we go to the voters in May. We ask them to vote on the budget. If they reject that budget, then the board needs to reconvene and make a determination whether they have another vote on the third Tuesday in June, or do we go straight to contingency. If we were to go out to vote again in June and that budget were to be rejected again, we have to go to contingency. And in the fine print that you can't really read, right through here in the middle, basically it outlines the simple fact under tax cap law is the levy for next year can be no more than the levy this year. So that $10.1 million we spoke about with the levy growing, and part of that $10.1 million, almost half of it, is to pay for debt that's still outstanding, I would need to remove $10.1 million from the budget. Now, I still have to pay the debt, so there are other things that have to be removed by statute. You do have to take out all capital projects, so the new buses and the roof at Waverly and the high school north pool pump and the tanks, things of that nature, by statute have to come out. All equipment needs to come out as well. So whether it's IT equipment, transportation equipment, facilities equipment, or athletic equipment, that needs to come out of the budget. And then we would start to look at things that we've added to the budget that we would call enhancements, things that are actually being added to next year's budget that aren't in this year's budget, whether it be the security guards for the elementary schools or for the middle schools or the student accident insurance, things of that nature. And then there's a formula that I have to meet where next year's budget can't have an administrative component at a greater percentage than the current year as it compares to the program component. So there's a formula behind the scenes that drives that as well, which would require us to remove about $800,000 for the administrative side and another $3.6 million in rough dollars from the instructional side. And those would be decisions that the board would have to consider to determine what those things would be. But down at the bottom, it just recaps, you know, we're still within the tax cap. Homeowners that are STAR eligible will still get their STAR exemptions, which are about $1,000 per home. And because it's tax cap compliant, you still get your tax rebate checks that come out from the state anywhere from October to early February each year.
Within the current budget, we maintain a number of our current instructional program offerings. We maintain all of our staffing levels. We will continue to, and the board has been committed to continuing to decrease class sizes. Right now we have board targets that range from 25 in kindergarten and slide up to 30 in fifth grade, and those are large, and we're decreasing those targets by one next year. That's not where we're currently living necessarily across the district. Our average kindergarten section across 36 sections in the district right now is 21.5 students. When you look at our average fourth grade, we have 24.5 students in each section, again, across 36 sections. But there are some that are at the target at 27, and then there are some that are below it. But those are the average numbers. But that's something that the district continues to remain committed to. We continue to remain committed to offering all of our college offerings, our advanced placement, our honors level courses. And I just want to be cautious with saying that doesn't mean they all run. We're continuing to offer them. And at the high school especially, oftentimes courses are determined based on student requests. So if you have a particular course that only has 10 students requesting it, that might not make sense to run that course in that given year. So I just want to be able to distinguish between the two of those. We continue to offer all of our K-12 music and art, our interscholastic athletic activities, all of our PD initiatives, and we have a number of them going on throughout the district right now, as well as our cycle of replenishing, replacing outdated computers and technology that we have throughout the district and that we need desperately. Now, as John mentioned, we also have a number of enhancements included within this budget. We are proposing to add the study of world language for all 7th graders so that our 7th graders will have the choice to take Spanish, Italian, or French. For those of you that are familiar with other school districts, this is pretty much the norm in other school districts for 7th grade. Here in Sachem, we don't start until 8th grade. As a matter of fact, in many districts throughout the island now, world languages are starting in as early as kindergarten. So we're adding this to our 7th grade offerings. We are adding 13 security guards, one for each elementary school, and an additional guard for each middle school. And we're working on developing what the function of those guards would be. Certainly it's something that we're paying a lot of attention to right now. There are very different needs when it comes to a high school, let's say, to an elementary school, where a high school, the guards may be in the hallways and moving kids along to classes, and then if there is a fight or an event, they're breaking that up. You don't need that at an elementary school, right? So at an elementary school, the function of a guard is high visibility and reducing access to the campuses at arrival, high visibility and reducing access to campuses at dismissal, and then patrolling our campus, you know, at recess, let's say, and making sure that people aren't getting onto campus who don't belong on our campuses. Expanding our co-curricular and club offerings district-wide. We plan on adding clubs at each level of our schools throughout the district. Enhancing our funding for art and music supplies. Those are allocated on a per-pupil basis. Next year, we're going to raise that per-pupil allocation, so each building will receive more money for music and art supplies. Our supplemental accident insurance, that's something that the district stopped offering in 2013, 2014, when we were experiencing basically the financial cliff that the district had encountered. And this is something that, for the best that we can determine, we are the only district that does not offer the supplemental accident insurance on Long Island. And it's just that. It's a supplemental policy so that if something were to occur to a student while on our campus, then the burden doesn't lie necessarily solely on the parent for co-pays and those types of things. This supplements your primary insurance. Additional funding for technology throughout the district. This is something that we desperately, desperately need. And we plan on having more technology in all of our buildings, including an additional cart with devices at each elementary school. And we hope to continue to add more and more moving forward. Additional and replacement equipment for the athletic program. The athletic program has identified a number of critical needs. And then lastly are our capital projects. And again, not all of the capital projects that we're doing right now are the glitzy, glamorous ones that we'd like to do, you know, maybe new art rooms or new music or new science labs or those kinds of things. But these are critical needs at this point, things that we've been cited by the EPA for, things that we've been cited by OCR for, and these are things that have to get done within the context of this budget. And the important thing to remember here is that voting is open on May 15th. It's at all of the elementary schools that are currently open. So Tecumseh and Gatelot are not polling locations this year. Anyone who has a change in polling location will receive a postcard at home indicating that. And you may recall that in the past there have been 5 sort of 4x8 signs out in the district at strategic locations that remind people when the vote is and where the polling locations are. This year, John's arranged to have one at every single building so that, you know, there'll be one at Tecumseh that says, this is not a polling location. Please either go to the online finder and find what your polling location is or call the district clerk. And her phone number will be, Allison's phone number will be on that. So, you know, you have questions about the budget, call John, call myself. You have questions about where you're voting, call Allison. So thank you all for your patience. I know a lot of you are here for an award, a recognition of your son, of your daughter now at this point, right? It's just only girls at this point. Of your daughters with track and cross country. So we thank you for having patience with us as we move through this piece of protocol for a Board of Education meeting. Are there any questions
any
from
questions?
The board? Well, you know, it's, at this point, the board's now heard this, I think, probably 5 or 6 or 7 times.
I have one question. The per-student expenditure that you showed, that slide,
yes.
And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, could we get that per teacher, per employee, just to see where we rank with everybody else? I don't know how you can pull it.
What sort of metric are you looking for?
You just showed how much we're spending per student.
Per pupil.
Per pupil. So
right.
I'd like to see how much we're spending per teacher per faculty member. I don't know.
Like the average salary of a teacher?
Not the average salary, but that's showing us how much we're spending per student. I wonder how much we're spending per teacher in the school district. Like on that one, I just said to Bill, I don't want to be COMAC. It seems like they're spending $15,000 per student, but I don't necessarily want to be the cheapest either. I want to be middle of the road. Yeah. That's who we are as a community. And I want to make sure that we're not spending too much on our teachers or spending too little on our teachers. So I don't know what metric you need to use. I'm just looking for the same thing applied towards our
employees. That $10,500 includes the teachers.
It's
the instructional component for general education. So the staff is in there. It doesn't include transportation, though.
Okay.
It's just the instructional component for the transportation.
Okay. John, what types of things are included? It's not just salary within that number, though.
Yeah,
what makes
any supplies, materials, textbooks, the equipment for the instructional program.
Everything but what's not included in it.
Like capital, the facilities department, grounds, things of that nature, administration, the superintendent's office, the Board of Education's lines, the district clerk's lines, things of that nature, our debt, those types of things.
So I think it's fair to say a lot of our buildings are old, tired, our fields. I was at Sagamore today. It's a disaster. So maybe we can increase the spending per student to increase our facilities a little bit.
We're trying.
Yeah, I think it's something that's definitely a priority for us, and
I'm doing what I have.
Since John and I started here, we've been preaching about sustainability within our budgeting process. So we want to be mindful of being able to have a sustainable budget, but also addressing some of those critical needs in terms of our operations, our facilities that we've identified. You know, the board, many of the board members each summer tour the buildings with John and I prior to the start of school. And, you know, we're running around just looking at, you know, ceiling tiles and light switches and fields and cracks in a sidewalk. And these are all things that we're identifying, and now we want to be able to get onto a cycle where we can make those improvements within the context of our budget.